kinders. Hallo kinders. Hallo julle. Dit's lekker om julle in die diens te sien. Okay, so, let me start off. I did prepare, I promise. So, yeah, just grace. Okay, this is a real nice one. Okay, so, families are funny, aren't they? No matter where you're from, there's always a story or something funny that you can relate to. The child that falls asleep 5 minutes before you get home. The oldest that insisted they had to follow all the rules. Or the youngest that decided they are just going to make up their own. Okay, so they're familiar because they remind us of our own families. They remind us of our own homes. So let's just enjoy a few of those everyday family moments together. Cue video.
No! Dad!
Dad, he's so cool!
Les rêves des amoureux sont comme le bon vin. Ils donnent de la joie ou bien du chagrin, affaibli par la faim, je suis malheureux. Pas longtemps chemin, tout ce que je peux, car rien n'est gratuit.
Can we have some, please?
We've been so good.
Ah, I knew it. Oh no, don't fall asleep, Ryan. Stay awake, buddy. We're almost home. Here you go, buddy. Play with this. Cody, make sure he doesn't fall asleep.
Ryan, wake up. We're almost home. Come on, Ryan, stay awake. He's too far gone.
Ah, shoot. Here, Ryan, you want a snack? Have a snack. Cody, give this to your brother, quick. Cody. Oh, not you too. No.
12 o'clock midnight.
Okay, so weren't those great? Every family has its own funny moments, its own quirks, but beneath all of that, there's something much deeper. God didn't just create families so that we can make memories together. He created us to love him, to pass on our faith, and to keep on returning to him. Okay, so let me show you what I mean. Okay, so I've got, you see this random string I was hanging around my neck the whole morning. Okay, so I've got one string. Who of you think they can snap this? Ek weet jy gaan dit kan doen, Ilsa. Ja. What about this one? Gaan jy dit kan doen, Kev? Met bietjie moeite. Okay, so, yes, one piece is easy to break, but when they are woven together, they become so much stronger. So Deuteronomy 6 says, our faith shouldn't only happen at church. God wants to be woven into everything we do, every day, when we walk, when we sit, when we talk. He wants to be part of everything we do. Faith isn't just another activity. It's the thread that holds family together. And if one string gets weak, the others will hold it up. They don't throw it out. Okay, so when we think of strong families, we often picture those smiling family photos, right? Everyone getting along, no mistakes, no arguments, no hurt. But if you've ever lived in family, you know that's not reality. The Bible doesn't tell us stories about perfect families. It tells us stories about where they needed God. Joseph that forgave his brothers in Genesis 50. The prodigal son that came home in Luke 15. Even God's own people constantly wandered away, but he kept on calling them back. Because God's dream has never been perfect families. His dream has been restored families. So Deuteronomy 6 begins with something surprising. Before God talks about family, before he talks about teaching, before he talks about children, he speaks to the heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That's in Deuteronomy 6:5. Why? Because faith cannot be passed on if it hasn't first taken root in our hearts. So verse 6 says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Our greatest gift for the next generation isn't a perfect family. It isn't perfection. It's a genuine love for Jesus. Children learn far more from what we live than what we say. Then Moses says something beautiful in verse 7. Teach these things when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you get up. In other words, don't make faith something that only happens on Sundays. Let it happen around the dinner table, in the car, before bedtime, while you're washing the dishes. Faith grows through ordinary moments, repeated over time, just like a muscle. Nobody gets strong from going to the gym only once. Strength comes through repetition. Faith is exactly the same. Tell God stories. Pray together. Celebrate answered prayers and remember what God has done for you. Israel was constantly reminded to tell the story of Egypt so that they would never forget God's faithfulness. These stories become the anchors of the next generation. So here's something important. Even families who love God still hurt each other. The strongest families are not the ones that don't fight. It's the ones that know how to forgive. Jesus taught us in Matthew 6:12, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Paul echoes it in Colossians 3:13, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgiveness doesn't pretend nothing happened. It chooses not to have hurt, let the last word. Why? Because reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:18. Sometimes the most spiritual thing a family can say is simply, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I love you. Forgiveness doesn't change the past, but it changes the weight we carry. I'm going to say it again. Forgiveness doesn't change the past, but it changes the weight we carry. So Deuteronomy 6 isn't really giving us another checklist. It's giving us a picture. A family where God is loved first. His word fills everyday conversations. His faithfulness is remembered and forgiveness is practiced. This kind of family doesn't depend on money, on status, on the perfect home, or even on the perfect parents. It's available to every family that chooses to put God at the center. Because faith isn't built in one big moment. It's woven together one conversation, one prayer, one act of forgiveness, one ordinary day at a time. Amen. Okay, so we've heard today that God doesn't call us to have perfect families. He calls us to be families that love him, that remember his faithfulness and choose forgiveness and reconciliation. But reconciliation isn't always easy. Sometimes the hurts are deep. Sometimes the conversations are not easy. And sometimes we just don't know where to begin. That's why we are so grateful to have Mimi here today. Mimi is a registered family counselor who walks alongside families every day. She has the privilege of helping people navigate real life challenges, restore broken relationships, and take practical steps towards healing. So today she will be sharing some practical tips with us how to become more connected, more healthy families. Thank you, Mimi.
Good morning, everyone. First, I would just like to say, I am not a pastor. I did not go to Bible school. My dad was an NG Kerk dominee, so I think it qualifies me for something, maybe church furniture. Yes, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to speak to you guys. So while we were on holiday, as a family, I received the invitation to join in this service today. So obviously, because I'm with my family, I shared the information with them and asked for their input on, you know, what do they think, what should I talk about? And my very wise 16-year-old daughter had something to say. And it was basically, Mom, tell the parents that they need to humble themselves, admit when they are wrong, and apologize to their children. So I was like, well, luckily you're not talking about me. Because, I mean, I'm perfect. But, ow. But then it had me, yeah, I started thinking and praying about it. And I realized over the past 22 years that I've been doing counseling, I realized there are so many children, regardless of their age, walking around with wounds caused by parents without the parents often even realizing that they've done anything wrong. So I've come to this conclusion, and I think the biggest, one of the biggest causes of hurt in families is something that I would like to label as prideful parents. Now, please hear me out. I'm the first to admit that I am guilty as charged. I do not like to apologize. It's difficult. My husband, on the other side, is way better at this than me. Kijk, ek kyk kom net so en dan sê hy al klaar sorry. Hy weet nog eers wat hy verkeerd gedoen het. But seriously, as South Africans, you know we are a proud nation. We are proud of how proud we are. You see it in our work. You see it in our culture. You see it in our sport. Nah? Afrikaners is nie net plesierig nie. Ons is trots. Nah? We don't show our weaknesses. We don't like to be vulnerable. We don't ask for help or directions. Nah? We don't show our emotions. And we don't like to admit when we are wrong. And we certainly don't like to humble ourselves, especially in front of our children. Because what if we admit that we failed? What if we show our weakness? Our kids will walk all over us, no? They won't respect us. They won't listen to us, right? Wrong. I have a saying at my practice. I think I'm going to trademark it at some point. But the saying is, our kids don't do what we tell them to do. They do what we do. They look at us. They copy and paste. So we have a responsibility. If we want reconciliation, unity, and healing to happen in our families, we as the adults need to show it first. We need to be the example. Shuma, my mond is droog. Oh, daar is water. Dankie. Skies gou julle. So, we need to be the example. We need to show them. We need to show respect to our children before we can expect them to respect us. And the best way to show respect to our children is for us to humble ourselves first, to admit when we've failed, when we've done something wrong, to apologize and to ask for forgiveness. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about this. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Isn't that beautiful? James 4 verse 6 says, "Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Children do not need perfect parents. They need parents who are humble enough to admit when they fail, to ask for forgiveness, and to point their children to the grace that we get from Jesus. A sincere apology teaches children that making mistakes is not the end of the story. Repentance, forgiveness and restoration are. James 5 verse 16 says, and I promise this is the last verse, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Healing begins with confession. And it begins with us as parents. So practically, what does this look like in our everyday lives? So first I'm going to talk about some unhealthy apologies. And again, to clarify and confess, I've done all of these. Okay, so no judgment. But how does this sound? I'm sorry, but you made me angry. I'm sorry that you're so sensitive that you can't take a joke. I'm sorry you feel like that, but I didn't mean it like that. Or my favorite, I'm sorry I'm such a bad parent that I can't do anything right. Sounds familiar, no? Yes, and it's difficult to hear these things. But let's look at what a healthy apology could sound like. I spoke harshly to you. I snapped. I disappointed you. I broke your trust. That was wrong. Will you forgive me? A biblical, sincere apology takes responsibility, doesn't make excuses, asks for forgiveness, and then seeks to change. So let me give you 5 practical steps that you can follow. Number 1, apologize quickly. Don't wait. Don't let days go by to let it simmer. Be specific. Name exactly what it is that you did wrong. Don't be vague. Don't justify yourself. No. Own your actions without shifting the blame. Pray together. Let your children hear how you ask God for forgiveness and for help. We don't send our kids to church for the church to teach them how to pray. We need to show them at home, how do you pray? It doesn't have to be grand and fantastic. And then 5, make grace part of your family culture. Let these words become common phrases in your home. Phrases like, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I forgive you. Let's pray together. So yes, if what I said right now sounds a little bit like an attack or judgment, or if you feel offended, sorry, not sorry. Remember, the enemy is the one who likes to accuse and condemn and make us feel guilty and ashamed. Because that's usually what keeps us quiet. And that allows the moment for the apology to pass us by. But Holy Spirit is gentle and kind and will convict us when we need to say something. To bring all of that to the light so that healing can happen. Remember, a wound, you can't just pluck a plaster on a wound and expect it to heal. Wounds need to be opened up. They need to be cleaned. The light needs to shine on a wound for that wound to actually heal. And that's why we need to take the first step. Sometimes it takes time, though. It's almost never a quick fix. A simple sorry doesn't always just make everything better miraculously. But it's amazing what a small step of obedience can do in starting the process of healing and restoration and reconciliation. So I want to end off by just reminding you that an apology and forgiveness does not always follow straight after each other. Both of them are processes, and sometimes it takes time. So I can't apologize and then expect the person to forgive me immediately. Both of those processes are also choices. You don't feel like apologizing. I mean, I never do. and you also don't feel like forgiving. Because every time you think of what that person did, it hurts. But it's a choice. And we can start today by making that choice. So Runel will now take over from me and tie all of this nicely together and take it home for us. Thank you.
Thank you. So one of the greatest places we learn about God's grace is in our own homes. None of us gets it right all the time. So today, let us ask the Holy Spirit to search our heart. If there is something or someone that we need to ask forgiveness from, or maybe we need to give forgiveness to, let us do that this morning. As we come to communion, we remember that Jesus gave his life so that we can be reconciled to God. Because we have received forgiveness, he can extend that same grace, and we can extend that same grace to one another, and that can start the healing process. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much that you gave Jesus so that we can be reconciled to God in relationship to you. Please help us in the same grace that we can forgive one another, that we can be families that represent your love, that we represent your forgiveness, and that we represent reconciliation. Lead us with your Spirit this morning, that maybe there's something that we've said, maybe there's something that we've done. First, we come to you and we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We do not get it right all the time. But I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will also help us, that when we use communion now, that we can pray with one another, that we can forgive one another and say, you know what? What I did that time was not right. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are a comforter, that you are gentle with us, and that you show us the better way. Thank you that you're just showing us the areas that we need to submit to you today. We just want to honor you, Jesus. We want to live godly lives, and we want families representing your kingdom on earth in Durbanville. And we pray it in Jesus' name.